Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's the third hour. It's Open Lines. We continue the questions I've laid on the table from the last part of Open Lines, having to do with Roman Catholic, the Pope's opposition to the war, Martin Sheen's opposition to the war, and a question for you: if you're a Roman Catholic, do you stand with your Pope in opposition to the path of war for the United States? Folks, what role does confession and forgiveness play in your life? Is confession and forgiveness something you did when you got saved? What about in your family, among your co-workers, in your congregation? Scripture says, confess your sins to one another. Does this also carry with it the implication that we can also forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us? I can even think of a passage that says, forgive one another as Christ forgave you. You might be surprised to find that confession and forgiveness has a more central role in your life, or at least it ought to, than you may at first believe. Our new Issues Etc. book of the month for March is called Confession and Forgiveness. It deals with a lot of these issues. You can have it for yourself and read it along with us if you call Concordia Publishing House tomorrow during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. book of the month for March called Confession and Forgiveness. The cost of the book is $9.99. You can get more information on how to order the book online by going to our website any time of day or night, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section, and you'll find a direct link to Concordia Publishing House, or call them during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. It's Open Lines. Our phone numbers, I'll give them to you in a second, but I got to share more of the Martin Sheen with you. I was mentioning before Martin Sheen out protesting the war, organizing virtual marches on Washington. He is a devout Catholic. And he told a group last weekend of Roman Catholics that what he does, his 60-some-odd arrests in 17 years, what he does in opposition to the war today is drawn directly from his Catholic faith. The actor said his commitment to peace and justice issues was triggered after a spiritual rebirth more than two decades ago following several events, a near death from a heart attack while filming Apocalypse Now, and a visit with the India's poor while filming Gandhi, and a trip to Paris in 1981. He subsequently met Mother Teresa, who told him it was easier to deal with poverty and death in India than the lack of spirituality in America, and that comment profoundly affected him, he said. Today, Martin Sheen faithfully attends Mass in Malibu and Santa Monica. He receives the Eucharist and surrounds himself with rosaries. He keeps four on the rearview mirror of his Toyota van, repeatedly giving them out to those in need. A political liberal has said that he financially supported the pregnant girlfriends of his sons to help convince them not to have abortions. Now, I don't know if he's pro-life or pro-choice. My suspicions would be probably pro-choice. But he actually supported the girls his sons, his wayward sons, knocked up to help convince them not to have abortions. This is Martin Sheen, the much vilified Martin Sheen. Now, he is acting from conscience. There's no reason to believe, to give him the benefit of the doubt, which we are not often as conservatives willing to do, to give him the benefit of the doubt, he is acting within the bounds of his conscience. But he is also acting in concert with his church and his Pope. The Pope sent that envoy with a letter to President George W. Bush this week saying, please don't go to war. What about you Roman Catholic listeners? Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Do you stand with your Pope as well in opposition to the war? Roland is calling from his car. Roland, thank you for waiting and welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, actually, thanks to Jeff, they put me through pretty quick, so I appreciate that. Hey, the kinder, gentler Jesus, here we go again. Where do we separate the Trinity? Where does Jesus become the calming factor of the Father, you know, from the Old Testament, where, you know, nothing was to be left alive, including old men, women, and children? You know, this perplexes me. This is, I think, Martin Sheen not being a devout Catholic, but being a devout follower of Asian philosophy, Middle Eastern philosophy, perhaps, because I don't see a kinder, gentler Jesus coming back at the end of time to pass judgment on us. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not ignoring that side of it altogether, but I marvel at the lack of fundamental understanding of Christian teaching and theology with a lot of the Catholic folks today. It's almost as if church fathers, more contemporary church teachers, if you want to call it that, like the Mother Teresa's, carry a higher value for them than Scripture. And they were willing to base their entire lives, political, social philosophy, on the stuff that, if you really get into it, doesn't seem to have any rational relation to good theology.
Okay, now, and what you've done there, Roland, in all honesty, is kind of just taking the broad brush and swept across most of Roman Catholics, saying, you know, because what you find problematic about Martin Sheen's thinking is something you would pretty much, that would indict a lot of Roman Catholics, a misunderstanding of even their own theology, all right? But let me issue two caveats. First of all, I don't find any evidence that Martin Sheen is drinking deeply from Eastern religions. Okay, so could he have borrowed the kinder, gentler Jesus from an Eastern way of thinking? Perhaps. Do I agree with him on the kinder, gentler Jesus? No, I do not. But there's no reason to speculate about where he's getting his kinder, gentler Jesus. He has one. Maybe he's getting it from ignorance of his own doctrine. Maybe he's getting it from the fact that his pope has sent a letter saying this war is not a good idea and is not just. And maybe he's simply saying, in fact, he does say in the article, I didn't read the quote, but he does say, the Pope agrees with me, in essence, on this one. Now, let me ask you this, Roland.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the war with Iraq is something that Christians of goodwill, that Orthodox Christians of goodwill can disagree on?
I think Christians of goodwill can disagree on anything so long as they approach each other in brotherly courtesy and love in that Christian faith. You can disagree on anything you want.
Well, I guess what I'm really asking here is this some, not so much whether they can disagree. Obviously, Christians not only can, they do.
Mm-hmm.
But can they do it within the bounds of Scripture? Can they disagree on this war within the bounds of Scripture?
I don't want to be like a game show contestant and answer it too quickly. My visceral reaction is yes, I think you can. I think there are many points of Scripture where men of good conscience can disagree and still be faithful, and this may come into play when asking that question and coming up with an answer. I don't want to sound like I'm dodging it. I really am not. I think the answer is yes. I think you can honestly disagree, but then you also have to be a Christian that is not of the world but is in it, and being in the world means you have to take a look at what's going on around you and bring that into play in that decision-making process as well.
All right, Roland.
You can't be Pollyanna is what I mean.
All right, Roland, thank you very much. I don't think anyone's trying to be Pollyanna, although, yeah, there are people out there who are Pollyannish about this. They think that if we ignore Saddam Hussein, he will go away. He hasn't yet. However, this is a crucial question, whether or not Christians can disagree about the war, not only in good conscience, but can they disagree with on this war and within the bounds of Scripture, within the bounds of the clear teaching of Scripture? The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. What I'm asking you to do, really, it's rather than jump on the bandwagon of all of the many voices of conservatism that are simply piling on Martin Sheen. And Lord knows there's some good reasons to pile on Martin Sheen. But to ask the question about this man who is, for all intents and purposes, as far as we can tell, a devout Roman Catholic, takes his faith very seriously and finds in his faith the reason to oppose this war. Can we separate the kind of gut reaction against the Hollywood left from a person who says, I'm doing this not because I'm a leftist. I'm doing it because I'm a Roman Catholic, which is precisely what the Pope is saying. The reason he's opposing the war, straight to George Bush's face this week, is because he says he's speaking as not just as a private citizen someplace off in the Vatican, he's speaking as the Pope. He sent an envoy. Phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Cindy is calling. Cindy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. You know, one of the reasons why the mullahs and the imams hate us so badly is because what they see portrayed on the big screen and on the little screen. And because they see that as our lifestyle. And Martin Sheen and all the Hollywood folks portray that to the max. And do you see how hypocritical this is? I mean, he's protesting this war, and these people hate us because of what they see portrayed, and he depicts that.
Would you say the same thing about Mel Gibson, another devout Roman Catholic, who I imagine if you probably asked him about the war, he'd probably say, I think it's a good idea.
You know,
he's better looking than Martin Sheen, too.
Martin Sheen has never, ever been a favorite of mine. And all Hollywood people, I kind of lump them all together. I know there are some that are on the other spectrum, you know, the other side of the spectrum.
And I'm not asking about all Hollywood people. Asking about, let's compare Martin Sheen and Mel Gibson.
Okay.
One is politically conservative. The other one is politically liberal. They're both, at least by their own admissions, devout. I think they're both devout Roman Catholics.
Correct. That's true.
Okay.
Right.
And Martin Sheen says no war, and he's standing with his Pope.
Right.
And let's say for the sake of argument, Mel Gibson says yes war, and he would disagree with the Pope. Would you say the same thing you said at the very beginning, that that these are the purveyors of filth, this is why the world hates us? Would you throw Gibson in there too?
You have to, Todd, because he's part of it. Even though, I mean, because of the, I mean, I don't know that he's, well, there are some movies that I've seen that I don't care for the things that he depicted. You have to do that.
What do you think the Muslims thought when they saw What Women Want?
That's the movie I was thinking of, and I didn't. Well, come on. I mean, that was there was sleaze in that movie. I'm sure that they thought, you know, what a bunch of dimwits.
All right, Cindy, at least you're being consistent. Thank you very much for the call. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Can Christians disagree within the bounds of Scripture on the war? Now, there are people who would look at Martin Sheen and say, he can't be a Christian. I don't care if he believes, I don't care how often he makes a profession of the Christian faith. He can't be a Christian because, among other things, he opposes the war. Or maybe they would just simply say, he's against my president. Does standing in opposition to the president, can people disagree on this president within the pale of Christianity? Is that possible? Or have we lost the ability to distinguish between one's political views and one's religious views? I'm not talking about separating them from one another. I'm talking about simply distinguishing between the two. And I say this as one who thinks the war is a great idea, not just a good idea. I think it's a great idea. I think it's one of the best ideas the president has had in a long time. And I say this as one who voted for George W. Bush and thinks that he's a Jim Dandy president. But I got to ask the question. All of this should be so consistent, don't you think? Jim is calling from his car. Jim, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I think that if it was possible for us to look at Martin Sheen, and I really am sorry that he gets so much press and so much attention on this issue, but if it was possible for us to look at his position in a vacuum, you know, and the idea that he's using his position as a devout Roman Catholic to take this position on the war, then I could say yes, that Christians in good conscience can differ, you know, on this war, either supporting it or not supporting it. But I think that we have to look at the other things in Martin Sheen's life and the fruit and the, you know, of his Christian walk and how it manifests itself as far as his positions, you know, in other areas. I think that all has to be factored in as whether he's credible or not credible on this issue.
Would you apply the same measure to someone who's in favor of the war? In other words, if there is, let's just say for the sake of argument, a politician who is a lech, an adulterer, the fruit in his life, maybe even claims to be a Christian, but he is a hawk on the war and stands 100% behind his president. Would you question his credibility on his war position, since you can't isolate the two from one another?
Well, I mean, I think that to make the comparison, does not your analogy fall down? You're asking, does Martin Sheen have credibility in my eyes, I guess that's the question.
No, what I'm asking is, and let me see if I can make it as clear as possible. You said, and I agree with you to a certain degree, we can't isolate Martin Sheen's anti-war position from other things in his life, and you're saying these other things in his life do go to the question of his credibility. And I'm asking, if there's a person out there, the hypothetical person out there, big figure politician, Hollywood type, who's in favor of the war, but has a lifestyle similar to Martin Sheen's, wouldn't we also necessarily need to, for the same reason, question their credibility on that position? Let's say, for instance, Bill Clinton just got signed. Did you hear this? He and Bob Dole just got signed by 60 Minutes to do a point-counterpoint together on a weekly basis, or how often they're going to get these two guys together in one studio. All right, he's a media type now. He's now gone from being politician to media type. Let's say he were for the war. And no one needs to go through the laundry list of Bill Clinton's personal and public peccadilloes. If he were for the war, would you, for the same reason, question his credibility based upon the fruit of his life?
No, I guess I wouldn't. So I'm not consistent. I support the war and I support our president. I mean, it really has nothing to do with somebody's theology or, you know, what the leader of their church, you know, has to say. I would look at the individual based on, I guess backtracking here a little bit. I guess I would have to say that Martin Sheen has the right to take a position on whether he supports this war or doesn't support this war. And I don't know what the connection, as far as the connection to the leader in his church, the Pope, has any relevance in his position. I don't. Am I making sense?
I think so, Jim. You may not.
Hold on a second.
You may not be. Consistent. I'm glad you're willing to admit that you're not being consistent, because you're not, but you are honest. You are honest for admitting you're not consistent.
Can I voice in on one other thing, the question that you asked
earlier
about what the two representatives did as far as the Muslim coming in and praying on the House floor?
Yeah.
I would not join in and pray with the Muslim cleric that was there. I mean, I would respectfully, I don't think I'd leave the House floor, but I certainly would not pray with a Muslim cleric.
Do you think that the state houses, the house in Washington D.C. that the podium there should be opened to prayers from all kinds of faiths in their invocations?
Yes, I guess that it should. I mean, in the Missouri House, we have two devout Muslims. We haven't had anything but either a priest or a Christian pastor open the house every morning with prayer.
But you're saying if a Muslim came up and made the invocation, you would not make any move toward bowing your head. You would just stand, but you wouldn't step off the floor or out of the chamber.
Correct.
Jim, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. And actually, Jim, I think, has opportunity to do that. He might have opportunity to do that one of these days. He might. Who knows? The funny thing is, in the Washington State House where this took place, when asked why they stepped off the floor, the reasons were not religious. They were political. They saw Islam as too closely connected to terrorism, and they just couldn't take it, so they stepped out. Actually, one of the ladies did step out for that reason. And the other guy who stepped out said, my leaving the floor was not coincidental, but I'm not going to tell you why I did it, which is kind of odd. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Kathy's calling from her car. Thanks for waiting, Kathy.
Yeah, I just caught part of what you're talking about, but Martin Sheen's a hypocrite. He doesn't even follow the Pope most of the time. So I, first of all, I'd go to the head of the matter, since he stood with the Pope, and I disagree with the Pope. I don't believe he's infallible. So I mean, the fact that I don't agree with the Pope would cause me not to agree with Martin Sheen anyhow. But Martin Sheen doesn't follow his religion. He's a socialist. And so I, you know, I would have, I wouldn't even give him ear.
Well, what is being a socialist, if he is? I don't know what, I think he's actually a Democrat, but what does being a socialist have to do with not following Roman Catholicism?
Well, first of all, I think the Pope is the Polish Pope, and he's made this the heir of Mary. He's brought her into this, and these apparitions.
All right, but that doesn't answer the question. Answer the question, please.
In other words, what it makes a socialist?
What is Martin Sheen? Let's say, for the sake of argument, he is a card-carrying member of the Socialist Party, wherever that is.
Mm-hmm.
What does that have to do with him not following the tenets of his own faith?
Well, because I don't believe you can be a socialist and a Christian.
And so are Catholics Christians?
I don't believe most of them are, because they follow the Pope and not Jesus. And if they're following Jesus, they're a Christian, yes. If they're following men, they are not.
All right, Kathy, thank you very much for the call. I think it's something we asked this question. Do you remember this and the Limbaugh question on Open Lines were the two hottest questions, the issues, et cetera, has ever seen with regard to Open Lines? The one was the Limbaugh question. You remember? I don't want you to answer this question. I want to start this all over again. Well, if you wanted to, fine. I'll take your calls. But does listening to Rush Limbaugh bring out the old Adam in you? And that one went on for a week. And the other one we asked was, can you be a Christian and a socialist at the same time? And I think that one went on for a week too, if I'm not mistaken. About 5 hours of Open Lines. So Kathy thinks you can't. Martin Sheen is a socialist, ergo he can't be a Christian at the same time. And since he's a Roman Catholic, he kind of has two strikes against him, because most of them aren't Christians anyway. But the question is, if he says, I'm doing this by the dictates of my conscience and in concert with my church, that's what he's saying. I'm doing it by the dictates of my conscience and in concert with my church. Let's say, for instance, let's not make it a Roman Catholic. Let's say he were a Methodist. President of the United Methodist Church has come out in opposition to this war. There's a Methodist out there. By golly, our president is even a Methodist. But say there's a Methodist out there, big actor, says, I'm acting within the limits of my conscience and in concert with my church when I oppose this war. And I would be asking the same question of the Methodists in the audience. Do you agree or disagree with your Pope on opposition to the war? We'll come back, take more of your phone calls after this.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The courts of justice are there to protect our rights and to right the wrongs that occur between men. Should Christians take one another to court? What's the difference between conflict resolution and Christian reconciliation? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is called Confession and Forgiveness by Ted Kober. You can order the book online by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on the book, and you can even read an excerpt. issuesetc.org. Or order by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. Now, when you call, be sure to ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Confession and Forgiveness, 1-800-325-3040, weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040.
A wonderful inheritance.
Answers with Ken Ham, a conference speaker and author on the authority of the Bible. Well, Ken, I've heard you speak about Noah's Ark for many years now, but this is the first time you've called it an inheritance. What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't think we can overemphasize the importance of learning about Noah's Ark. It helps explain geology, biology, anthropology, history, even salvation. You see, the Bible's account of the Ark is what I would call a teaching treasure that God's given us. He wants fathers to pass it down to their children. That's one reason I call the Ark an inheritance, a spiritual inheritance. My own father passed this inheritance down to me. When I was young, few people seemed to believe what Genesis said about Noah's flood. But my father stood firmly on the Bible, and he taught his children to believe everything Scripture says. In fact, the last gift my father gave me just before he died was a model that he made of Noah's Ark. That Ark, to me, vividly represents a legacy that led to the founding of Answers in Genesis. Our goal is to pass on this wonderful spiritual inheritance to the next generation, so that they, too, can trust God's Word and the Savior who gave us His Word.
What does God's Word have to share with us about dinosaurs? Well, you might be surprised. There's a lot. You can read Ken Ham's free dinosaur booklet right on your computer screen if you log on to AnswersRadio.com. Read the answer on your screen or download and print it out. That's AnswersRadio.com.
We'll continue with open line issues, etc., coming up here in about 2 minutes. AM 850 KFUO weather, partly cloudy, overnight low of 35. Partly cloudy tomorrow with a high of 54. Right now, partly cloudy and 39. In traffic, westbound 40 after Kings Highway, stop-and-go traffic out through Hanley. Heavy east of 270 through Mason. Then bumper-to-bumper from Boone's Crossing out to Route K. Eastbound 270 before 270, there's some slow traffic there. Westbound 70 at Cypress, slow traffic. Then from the airport out to Fifi, heavy 270 through the Blanchette Bridge and busy at 5th Street. Eastbound 40 before Union Station, slow traffic out to the Poplar Street Bridge. Northbound 55 at Park Avenue, slow traffic also heading out towards the Poplar Street Bridge.
Sign on at 6:30 tomorrow morning. Wake up with inspiration, information, and a few smiles as we head into the weekend. Hi, this is Paul Clayton. At the weather desk will be our chief meteorologist, Larry Carter. Checking in at 8:25 will be Pastor Jolly John Lukowski. Marty Lindvedt provides words of encouragement at 7:40. Commentary from Dr. Dale Meyer. It's all a part of the morning show Friday on AM 850 KFUO.
Sunday on Issues, Etc., we're going to be talking with Phyllis Schlafly. We had to reschedule this interview because of the weather a couple weeks ago. We got Phyllis back on for Sunday night talking about feminism. She got a great new book. I read it from cover to cover before I had to do the interview that was canceled, so I hope I have a little recall on this, called Feminist Fantasies. We'll be talking about that live Sunday night from 10 to 11 on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis. If you've got a question for Phyllis on feminism, and I'm sure you do, you can post it in advance of our conversation on Sunday night on our Issues Etc. forum. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section there, you're going to find a direct link to the Issues Etc. forum. Post a question or a comment on feminism for Phyllis Schlafly there, and we'll get to it during the program with Phyllis Sunday night. That's on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis from 10 to 11. Also on Monday's program, I'm looking forward to this, not only because of the subject, but also because of this guest, Pastor Bill Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. I had opportunity to hear him preach briefly earlier this week, and I told him afterwards, if I ever move away from the idyllic little town I live in Illinois, I'm moving to Hacienda Heights so I can hear preaching like that on a regular basis. Bill Swirla will be talking to us about what we can learn, what the church can learn, from Mr. Rogers. Then we'll be talking about Augustine, City of God, with Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine. That's Monday on Issues, Etc. Back to the phones. Steve is calling from Springfield, Illinois. Steve, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello.
Steve, can I ask you before I let you get your comment in, are you listening on the internet or are you picking up a signal up in Springfield?
We can get a weak signal up here, but I'm happen to be tonight. I listen to it on the internet.
All right. Thank you for doing that. What's your question or comment?
Yes, I'm a Lutheran, so I have a Lutheran spin on it. The question I'm trying to respond to is, can Christians disagree on the war? And my answer would be yes, they can, and I guess I'd refer to Lutheran's doctrine of the two kingdoms, where the left-hand kingdom of the left hand would be basically the kingdom of, like, governments and that sort of thing, and I guess this war would, at least in my opinion, fall into that category, as opposed to the kingdom of the right hand, which would be like the kingdom of grace. So
in other words, you're basically saying that in matters upon which Scripture has not spoken clearly, and matters which are relegated to the governing authorities, like you're putting in this in the realm with what's our tax rate? How much should we spend per child on education? Things that Scripture doesn't talk about, but God has put this in the hand of governing authorities. Christians can disagree on this stuff.
I suppose I would, yes.
All right.
Like Luther didn't tell, Charles where he could wage war and not, I guess I don't feel that the religiously speaking Scripture really addresses whether or not George Bush should go to war or not here.
Thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate the call, and I always appreciate people taking the trouble to listen on the internet, especially when the signal's a little weak right out there on the edge of our footprint. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Do you think the Christians can disagree on the war, on the prospect of war, this war, within the bounds of Scripture? And we've had some callers who say, yeah, they say it kind of grudgingly. Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. I mean, it's either a yes or a no. Either this is something in which the conscience is bound by Scripture or it isn't, right? Bob is calling from Manchester. Bob, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello?
Hey, Bob. What's up?
Todd, first of all, I'm a Catholic. You asked for Catholics to call in.
Yes.
I very much disagree with the Pope. I respectfully disagree with him. He has his ideas. I have mine. I'm a conservative. He's... I don't know exactly what he is, but I don't think he has full information that George Bush has. I don't think the Pope has a very good CIA. I don't think he's been trying to do that. The other thing is, when Martin Sheen comes out and says that he is pro-life, then I might give some credence to his statement that he's standing shoulder to shoulder with his Pope, but I don't think he does that.
Well, the only thing in the news story that I found, and this comes from the L.A. Times, that that indicated anything about the life issue is that Sheen, when both of his daughters, both of his sons, I think he's talking about he's got an Estevez and a Sheen son. Both of them are movie stars in their own right, and
yeah.
But apparently both of them also got girls pregnant out of wedlock. And Martin Sheen said that he supported those young ladies in order to deter them from having an abortion. He didn't say whether or not he did it out of pro-life convictions or whether or not he simply did it because, you know, he didn't want his grandchildren to be aborted. Maybe he's pro-choice. I don't know. But at least, I mean, take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, well, he's not making much about it. And another thing, I believe a lady called in named Kathy, and she said that... she didn't think that most Catholics were Christian. I assure you that Catholics are Christians. We claim to go back to the time of Christ. We were essentially the first Christians, not to say that there's anything wrong with Protestant Christians. We're all Christians if we believe in Jesus Christ, which Catholics all do. Now, if they don't, then they go off somewhere and become a Buddhist or a Muslim or something, but Catholics are Christians.
Bob, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. If let's just put it this simply. If someone doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, trust Jesus Christ alone for their salvation, that it is He and He alone. If someone says, for instance, It's Jesus plus a little bit of what I do, which is kind of the classical formulation in Roman Catholic theology. Whoever trusts Jesus Christ and Him alone, without adding any of their own stuff into it, is a Christian, whether they call themselves Roman Catholic or not. They're a Christian. And everyone who says, as Rome has in the past, and believes this, the great thing is that many Roman Catholics do not believe what their church teaches, because their church still holds to Trent that says, if anyone says that a man is saved by simple trust in Christ Jesus and His merits alone, let him be cursed. That's Trent. That's a council of the church. That's what they teach. That's what they uphold. Many, thanks be to God, many Roman Catholics disagree with it. And that makes them Christians. But I would say this much, too. Anyone outside the Roman Catholic Church who agrees with Trent, they may not be Roman Catholics, although they agree with them, but they're not Christians. It's kind of the knife that cuts both ways. If you're going to add your works to what Jesus Christ has done for you, you might as well be a Roman Catholic. Jeff is calling from North Platte, Nebraska, and he's listening on our sister station in KNGN up there in McCook. Jeff, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi. Let's see. I actually don't know what my position is on the war. I've been torn both ways for quite a while. I really don't know where I'm standing. But I'm a Roman Catholic, and I just wanted to say basically that, okay, we have to our Pope, we don't follow him blindly. He's kind of a guiding for us. I mean, he's just kind of the head, kind of like a pastor would be.
Well, now, do you mean in terms of, do you hold the papal infallibility?
I do believe that, but people it's very easy to misunderstand.
Sure, I know, but what you're saying is where the Pope speaks ex cathedra, where he speaks authoritatively in his teaching office of the Church, you would believe he speaks infallibly on matters of salvation, morals, and those things. Where he is speaking outside that, like say in the political realm, you can take or leave what he has to say.
Yes.
All right. And so you would say here the Pope is speaking as a world leader rather than the vicar of Christ.
Yes. Yes, I would. So, you have to make your own decision, but he's somebody to look towards just to hear his opinion, if nothing else.
Where are you leaning on this? Since the Pope has made his views, at least his views as a world leader, quite clear to the president this week through his envoy, where are you leaning then on the war, given the fact that the Pope has laid his cards on the table?
Okay, well, I can't say, directly one way or the other which way I would go. I say that we have to take every possible avenue for peace that we possibly can, and if we have to go to war, if we really think that it's justified, if we really don't see any other option for, what we think might happen in the future, then, we should go for it.
Jeff, thank you very much for listening up there on KNGN, and thank you for giving us that call. This avenue of peace thing with me, again, I'm going to lay my cards on the table. I think the war is a great idea. I don't like war. I think war is a bad thing. But in this case, I think it must be done, and it must be done with full vigor. And I'm speaking as one who has blood relation, getting ready to hop a plane over toward that dusty sandbox they call Iraq. And he's going to be in harm's way. He's wearing the uniform of our nation. Now, I think it's a good thing. But I don't know if I buy the path to peace thing, that we got to pursue all paths to peace for this reason, not the typical reason, but because I believe that war is sometimes a path to peace. Sometimes you fight in order to establish, even just war theory recognizes this, sometimes you fight, you engage in hostilities in the interests of peace. And war might be the path, the avenue toward peace that we need to explore. And I have had guests on this program who disagree with me in my same ilk. One of our guests, John Johnson, Dr. John Johnson, disagreed in good faith on the issue of this war. He said a preemptive strike against Iraq is simply not just. And we disagree on that. But you see, I believe that Christians can, in goodwill and within the bounds of Scripture, can disagree on this. Coming up Monday, we're going to have another guest who will disagree with me. Tony's calling from his car. Tony, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Good afternoon. I'm a Catholic also. Mm-hmm. Actually, the previous caller made essentially the point I wanted to make. This isn't really an infallible statement, obviously, by the Pope, but one that I think Catholics in good conscience should at least listen to and consider, which is what I've done. And I am a traditionalist Catholic, and actually I do, I think I am with the Pope on this one anyway. But one thing I did want to clear up, an earlier caller, Kathy, indicated that most Catholics aren't Christians because they follow the Pope. I only wish it were true that most Catholics follow the Pope. They really don't. I think that was just a misstatement of fact. And also, I think a lot of people misunderstand that every word that comes out of the Pope's mouth, we aren't obliged to believe. Only certain things in a very narrow area. And actually, when I was in law school a few years back, I took a canon law course, and it's my understanding there have only been two and arguably three ex cathedra statements made by popes ever, two about the dogmas of the Virgin Mary and one on the validity of Anglican religious orders.
Yeah, I think you're right. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay.
Well, I think you're right there, but that is stemming from the fact, not from the fact that the popes have never tried to speak infallibly, but the papal infallibility is a relatively new teaching in the church, and therefore the number of teachings that the Pope has promulgated under infallibility are necessarily, because it's a new teaching, are necessarily going to be few. Because the teachings before that, while they might be retroactively viewed to be infallible, they wouldn't have fallen under infallibility because infallibility wasn't around yet. I mean, it hadn't been promulgated by the Pope yet. So
well,
I think
yeah,
that's
I
the
think
reason.
That's a true statement. I mean, you know, there is the extraordinary magisterium of the church and the ordinary magisterium of the church. And if the church taught it historically as a whole, I mean, it's an infallible teaching. But, you know, the ex-cathedra teachings of the Pope are few, as you said.
Tony, thank you very much for the
Thanks.
Call. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I'm trying to get us to sort out this notion of, okay, Martin Sheen is Hollywood left, ergo Martin Sheen is wrong on the war. That is simplistic thinking. I mean, can't we Christians do better than this? If he's wrong, then let's take him on, not because we can simply say left. There's the label I can put over his mouth so I don't have to listen to what he has to say. Liberal, boom. Socialist, boom. Actor, boom. Who knows whatever label you want to put up there. Let's be worth the salt that Christ says we are. And at least be able to if he's wrong, to say, here's why he's wrong. Rather than just saying, well, he's a liberal or he's a leftist or he's a Hollywood type, ergo, I can't believe anything he says. Now, if he tells you a train's coming, when you're sitting on the tracks, I imagine you'll believe me. You won't be sitting there arguing, Martin, you're one of those Hollywood leftists. I don't believe anything they say. A train's coming. I think you believe him. Sandra's calling from High Ridge. Sandra, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes. First, I want to mention I'm Roman Catholic. And I think the discussion that's been going on about the war, I think the point has been missed of why we are going to war. And I think the point has been missed of why we shouldn't go to war.
So what are those points, Sandra?
All right. The main point is the German warfare. Now, I listened to the United Nations, and that was on for 4 hours. I happened to have a day off, and I was listening to it. And one of the things that one of the commentators talked about that is not only Saddam Hussein has all these capsules with the German warfare, but it's also Israel. Now, they have it to protect the eastern coast or the eastern nations, whatever. So can you imagine if we go to war and we start shooting off our rockets and all of a sudden Saddam Hussein says, I've had enough, and he pushes some buttons and all these missiles start flying and all the German warfare goes, Israel starts pushing their buttons, all the German warfare flies. Eventually, this is going to circulate the globe. This talks about in Revelations, when it talks about two-thirds of the population being wiped out. I think there's a lot of fear in people's mind. It doesn't matter what religion you are. It's just common sense that tells you if this is going to happen, a lot of people are going to die. And none of these topics are brought up. It doesn't matter who's talking about it, what part of the country you're in. People have to realize that if we go to war, it's not like going to be wars like it was before, where bombs and all this other stuff, you shoot off an atomic bomb, blows away a nation. We're talking about world decimation here. And there's got to be some common sense about this talk.
Now, Sandra, before I let you go, as a Roman Catholic, do you disagree or agree with Pope John Paul II in his opposition to the war?
What I just explained to you should explain it enough.
Well, but his opposition isn't so much about the...
I think he is worried about the same thing, world decimation.
What he has said in the letter is that it is an unjust war. He hasn't talked about germ warfare so much. And he has said that there will be political and social evils that will result from a war in Iraq. I don't think he brought up the possibility of world decimation. So you agree with him, but for a different reason. Is that essentially what you're
it's
saying?
It's not a different reason. I just don't think you understand why he's saying don't go to war.
Well, I'm just going...
I'm saying what he's saying about not going to war. He doesn't want to see the world decimation. He doesn't want to see the worldwide suffering that's going to happen because of this war.
Sandra, thank you for the call. But I'm going by what the Pope actually wrote. I can't read his mind about germ warfare. And whether or not this is something, prophesied in the book of Revelation is for time to tell. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. But I would just point out this. By Sandra's logic, if I can just inject my opinion, by Sandra's logic, really, him possessing weapons of mass destruction, rather than being the reason to go, is the reason not to go. So if anyone wants us to leave them alone permanently, get yourself some of these weapons of mass destruction. See, I would disagree with her, at least in that sense. The reason, the fact that he possesses them makes it imperative for us to go. Because he can launch them without us going over there. He can launch them at Israel without us going over there. Period. Al is calling from his car. Hi, Al. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Pastor. I have a couple of questions, or a couple of comments and questions. The first comment is, I'm not sure that the papacy has ever had been in favor of a particular war. I don't know that they've ever been.
Well, except the ones they fought in the Middle Ages with their own armies.
Well, right, but in what I'm going to call more modern times in the last 100 years or so.
Yeah, I would have to check on that. I seriously doubt that World War II popes came out in opposition to... I mean, some of them were Hitler's popes, but I seriously doubt that any of the popes would have said World War II is a bad idea.
The other thing that it always interests me, and it's not just the pope, but it's pastors in general, pray for peace. And it always boggles my mind because Christ said he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. It seemed to me like it would be more important to pray for freedom and justice. Things were peaceful in the antebellum South, but the slaves certainly didn't. They had peace, but they didn't have freedom or justice. And I'm not sure that peace without freedom or justice is worth having.
Okay, and you have anything else you wanted to add? Because our time's running short here.
That'll do it.
All right, thank you very much, Al. Well, okay, when Jesus says, I did not come to bring peace but a sword, he is not giving us carte blanche to wage war. He's making a statement about the nature of his own person. He goes on to say, I'm going to divide families. Mother, father, daughter, husband, all these kind of things. I'm going to divide them up. Why? Because Christ is the rock upon which men stumble. Jesus is the great scandal of particularity that divides the world right down the middle between believers and unbelievers, period. And I think that's what he's talking about. He's not giving us a blank check to go and make war against bad people. So the peace he's talking about there and the war he's talking about there is quite, I think, or the lack of peace, the sword that he's talking about there, is very different from the sword Paul's talking about in Romans 13, that Caesar does not bear in vain. But I kind of like the idea that, I mean, he's right. There was peace in the antebellum South, but there wasn't justice. Peace is not peace at that cost. One might even argue there was peace in the Soviet Union for a long, long time. But there were no human rights. You can achieve peace by killing everyone who disagrees with you. Of course, in human terms, peace is always a relative term. Carl is calling from St. Louis. Carl's going to have to be the last one today. Carl, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much. I won't be very long. You have an excellent program here. I'll have to say right at the top that I am a Catholic Christian. I never thought it would be necessary to say so, but in view of what one of your previous callers said, there you are. The real thing that I want to say is this. In Cardinal Laghi's message to the president, as far as we are given to know, you know, with the information that has come out, I think he's making it very clear that what one cannot represent this war against Iraq as a holy war. Peace, security, politics are very important, but there is no way it can be represented as an American holy war, as sometimes it does get misrepresented. Ever since 9/11, and I like that. It's the light of reason.
Carl, I got to let you go because our time is running out, and I need to wrap this up. And I do thank you for your thoughts. Well, I think the Pope probably had in mind forestalling any kind of, you know, this is going to be a holy war that we will be waging. But I don't think that's what the president has in mind. The Pope may want to forestall that kind of thinking, and some people do have that kind of thinking. But I think they're relatively few, and I don't think it includes the president in this case. I don't believe it does. I think this is as calculating as a president can be when he is passionate in the defense of the people that he has been elected to serve. All right? And I'm giving the benefit of the doubt there. You know, there are people who look at George W. Bush, and Christian people who look at George W. Bush, and say that he is the product of some sort of grand global conspiracy, along with the Pope. And they got a hard time explaining why two hands in the same conspiracy can't agree on a war with Iraq. There's some people who go so far as to say that George W. Bush is maybe even a nascent antichrist. And yet they support the war. And that puts them in the untenable position of supporting the antichrist's war. Or supporting the antichrist as he goes to war. Jesus is the Christ, the Antichrist, has yet to be seen. George W. Bush is simply president of the United States, doing his best to protect us. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll be back tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.